Well, today I want us to think about the fear of God. Mm-hmm. The fear of God. You know, you look around and you try to figure out why in the world are things like they are today? Well, the matter of the fear of God is why they are today.
Right.
Where there is no fear of God, there is no life. The fear of God is not something to be dreaded. It's something to be appreciated.
Amen.
In its greatest sense. David says in Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of God is clean, enduring forever. There's nothing wrong about fearing God.
Amen.
Now, you can fear, there are things that you can fear. I mean, John says, these things I have written to you that you won't have to fear again. But he's not talking about not fearing God.
Right.
That one little verse in 1 John does not cancel out everything the Bible has to say about the fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is one of the most important things that we can have. If you don't have it, I hope to show you this morning, if you do not have the fear of God according to the Scripture, then you don't know Him at all.
Amen.
Christ is not your Savior. You are not indwelt by His Spirit. And this whole matter of blessed assurance, you ain't got none.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you don't fear God.
Yeah, and keep His commandments.
And keep His commandments. That's exactly right. And that's what Moses told them there in Deuteronomy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The whole matter is that you fear God and keep His commandments. For what person? For what purpose? So it might be well with you and your children.
Mm-hmm.
Fear. And really, that's the instruction of all the Bible. The catechism asks, what does the Bible teach us? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, it teaches us who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And what He requires of us. And ahead of everything else, there is the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
The fear of God. The devil came to God one day and said, been looking around.
Yeah.
Looks like you've got things set up real well. And God says, well, I do.
Yeah.
And have you considered my servant Job? He's a good example of how good it is.
Yeah.
And the devil said, well, it's because you take care of it.
Mm.
Because you take care of it. And God said, you know, that's right. Let me commend him to you again. He's a perfect man.
Mm.
He fears me. And he eschews evil.
Yeah.
What a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Have you considered my servant Job? And then all through the rest of it, we see how God proves what He says about Job.
Yeah.
And then how He continues to sanctify Job in the whole process.
Right.
And reveal Himself. But what He reveals more than anything else is what Job already knows. The fear of God. The word fear in the King James Bible appears 385 times.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to God, fear, the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, fear God, fear the Lord, feareth, it happens at least over 80 times. And to fear God is not anything but a continued blessing. Especially a continued blessing of His saving work in our lives.
Amen.
And I'm going to give you the conclusion of the sermon before I give you the sermon. Right? If you don't fear God, you're still in your sin.
Amen.
If you don't fear God, you know nothing of His mercy. If you don't fear God, You are not a partaker of His grace. The fear of the Lord is clean, David says. And the judgments of God are true and righteous altogether. What I want to do this morning is not try to convince you that the Bible says that we fear God, but I want you to know why we do. It's something that He supplies. It comes straight in the whole process of being saved. Take your Bibles, please, and let's go to Isaiah 11 together. We're going to go to lots of places today. And I hope we can do it in a very short period of time.
Isaiah 11?
Yes, sir. Isaiah 11. In Isaiah 11, beginning at verse 1, we read these words. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, who is that rod? Even the Lord Jesus said
that.
Verse 2 says that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And we're told that when he was baptized, what happened? In Matthew 16, right? The Spirit of God came to him like a dove. And the Lord marked that with his own words. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So he's going to have the Spirit of the Lord. He is the Lord. He has the Spirit of the Lord. And it'll rest upon him. I mean, it's not going to leave him. It'll be there. And notice the Spirit is resting.
Amen.
And then it says, the Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and he is the Spirit of wisdom. And how many times do we read in the Proverbs and in Job 2 and in the New Testament that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of
wisdom.
All through Proverbs. Proverbs is replete with this idea, with this fact, with this reality. That God's people who are wise in Him are also God-fearers.
Right.
They're all God-fearers.
Right.
The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. You want to understand something? You got to have the Spirit of Christ. People say, I just don't understand. Well, you're lost as you can be.
Yeah.
You're lost as last year's Easter egg, and you're lost like a herd of geese in a hailstorm. You don't know God. To know Him is not simply to love Him and enjoy Him and delight in Him, but it's to fear Him.
Yes.
That's understanding. And then it's the Spirit of counsel. That Spirit that comes upon him, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of counsel. He is what? Wonderful. Counselor. Right on down the line. Mighty God.
Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Yeah. We can sing that, can't we?
Yeah.
The Spirit of counsel, whatever he says is right.
Amen.
Whatever he does is right. And the Spirit of might. Now that would be enough for most folks. And then there's the Spirit of knowledge. And then finally there is the what? Spirit of fear. You can't fear God without the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of knowledge and of fear, the last few verses, words of verse 2. And then it says here in verse 3, and he with all of this, the Spirit shall make him quick, of quick understanding in the what?
Fear.
Fear of the Lord. This is Jesus.
Right.
Now, if he needed to fear the Lord, with whom he was one, I and my Father are what?
One.
How much more do we?
Amen.
and shall make him of quick understanding. Some, I think, good translations also translate that, and shall make him delight in the fear of the Lord. Not just a good understanding, but a delight. It's an understanding that turns into something that is delightful to our heart and needful to our souls and revelatory to our minds and redemptive of our entire existence. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Now here is the one who sees all things, and yet he's not going to judge after the sight of his eyes. Neither reprove. He reproves us all, doesn't he? After the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness. And righteousness is rooted in this whole matter of the fear of the Lord. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. And all these things are really speaking of the same thing. The same Holy Spirit being demonstrated in all of these aspects of godliness. Now you're missing one of these and you're in trouble. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't come to us in part and parcel.
No.
He comes fully into our lives as the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Now, saying that, I want you to understand that if we don't fear God, then we don't have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We don't have it. Look at the Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans chapter 8. I can remember almost far back enough to remember the first time I read this verse. It rang like a bell in my heart. Now, not from this aspect, but I thought, wow, you don't have the Spirit of God. You don't even have Jesus.
Yeah.
That's in verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, the apostle says to us, but in the Spirit. Well, I got flesh right here, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. But that's not us.
No.
Not anymore. Now we put it to death. We do battle with it. We mortify it. We set it aside. Unless we don't. And then we find ourselves back on our face before God and repentance. But even that's a gift, isn't it?
Amen.
And especially a gift. Yet he says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
That's right.
Okay. Amen. Now, what is that Spirit? What's he going to bring into the life of the Redeemer? He's going to bring wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and what? And the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. If you don't fear God, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not His. You're not of Him.
You have the other spirit.
Yeah. Spirit of the world, spirit of the devil.
Yep.
But again, I look at this verse and think, all right, if I don't have the Spirit of Christ, then I'm not of His. And he says in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is what? Life. Because of righteousness, God's righteousness. He imputes it to us. That which Christ accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection is imputed to us. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And it just keeps on. His spirit. Whose spirit dwells in us? It's the spirit that God gave his son, which came down and showed himself to be God at his baptism. And you've got to remember that one of the strong components of this, one that he delights in, one that he's quick to understand and have, he's quick to have the understanding of, is the fear of God. Well, I don't fear God. He's my buddy. No. He's my friend. Well, if you want to use it in John, in the John definition of friend, yes.
But that's he's not my, the way we use it.
No. It's just like he's a running buddy.
Right.
A running buddy.
And they will have been a drinking buddy. Yeah,
so that's what they do when they run. Yeah, those running buddies, those old pickups that had those step boards on there, you know, I just kind of see them.
Or your hands out of bed.
Yeah, running buddies. Mm-hmm. But anyway, setting that aside, the fear of God is the most important thing you can have. Why? Because it leads to everything.
Right.
Again, the beginning of wisdom is what?
Fear
of the Lord. The beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the beginning of understanding, the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
And you can see through all of those that have their names written in the Bible, and their stories told by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We can go back to Jacob at the ladder, you know, in that place where God was. He was afraid. And Moses, stumbling around that burning bush, was afraid. Moses at the foot of that mountain when it was burning and exploding and smoke was coming up from it, he was afraid.
Yeah.
Peter got a boat full of fish, strips off his clothes, dives into the water, swims up to the shore, and says, "Lord, depart from me, I am a wicked man." That's fear. Fear is a wonderful thing. When you think of it from this perspective. Fear, it has got several connotations, but especially in the scriptures, we have the fear of dread and terror.
Dread and what?
Terror.
Terror.
Being scared to death.
Okay.
Yeah. Adam! Where are you?
Hiding.
Well, we found out we were both naked. And we hid. Yeah, like you really did hide from
me. Yeah, right.
We know that we've sinned against you. We know that we're naked. And we know that we are ashamed. And they understood that it was a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's basically the way we all came to Him. He brought us fearing who He is and what He could do. We came to Him. He gave us the gift of repentance. Gave us the gift of faith. And then that fear became something else. Not just dread and terror, but something else.
Right.
Love's a good word, but it's not the right one for this. This is different than love.
Reverence.
Reverence. Veneration. Right. And awe.
Well, what did you say?
Reverence.
I can't hear.
Reverence and veneration and awe.
Yeah.
We began to understand the immensity and the majesty of His attributes.
Amen.
He's holy.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
And when Isaiah tells us about his experience with that, he's on his face.
Yeah.
And when Saul's telling us about his experience with it, he's on his face.
Yeah.
So it was for so many. There is dread and terror. To be terrified.
Yep.
And then there's also this matter of veneration. Mm. How can I commit this sin? I mean, how can I do such a thing as this and sin against God?
Right.
Joseph said to Potiphar's wife.
Yeah.
He was afraid too, but not her. He was afraid of God. And the fear of God enabled him to depart from iniquity.
Amen.
That's really the problem of what we've got politically, culturally, and especially the church.
Yeah.
There is no fear of God in their honor. Now without it, you don't know Jesus. Because the spirit that God gave him, he gave us.
Right.
In Romans there, it's made very clear that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, in Romans 3, 10 through 18, we have these words, and they are strong. They are found in Paul's quotation of the Psalms, especially Psalm 36. And listen to what it says here. He's writing to Christians.
Okay.
Those who are the elect of God and who have been brought to salvation in Christ. In verse 10 it says, as it is written, Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. Okay. That's where we begin. That's where we live for a long time. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That is being spiritually dead. When you don't understand and you don't seek. They are all gone out of the way. The way, the truth, the life. They're gone from it. They are altogether become unprofitable. What good are they to God except to be those agents by which he demonstrates his eternal wrath? There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Well, he's a good man. No, he's not. Never has been, ain't gonna be. He's not good. Why callest thou me good? What? There's only one good. Goes on here. Their throat is an open sepulchre. And I tell you, that's the world we're living in right now. The world where men's throats are open sepulchres. They lie. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. You believe them, you go with them. Straight to the pit. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Everything they touch, they destroy. They eat it up like the plague. And he says here in verse 17, in the way of peace they have not known. And yet they say, peace, peace. But there is no peace. Why? Verse 18.
Yeah.
There is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't even think about God. If God doesn't come and pluck them up as a brand out of the fire, they don't even think about Him. They don't know Him. As it says in Romans 1, even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Most people are like that. The vast majority There's only a remnant of people that are not like that.
Right.
And if you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're one of the few. But you are the elect. Those who have been saved from before the foundation of the world. Elect before the foundation.
Right.
So anyway, the fear of God is absolutely essential.
Amen.
It's one of the things you get when He gives you Himself. It's the fear of God.
Right. Well, that's what Solomon said to, at the end of Ecclesiastes.
Yeah. What is the whole duty of man?
Fear of God.
And keep His commandments. And they're synonymous. The fear of God is keeping His commandments. Because you've got to know God first. You've got to come to God on His terms.
You've
got to be made new in Christ. Old things passed away. All things become new. Fear and obedience are synonymous.
Amen.
And again, it doesn't have to be, well, if I don't do this, He's going to send me to hell. That's true. I mean, I'm not telling you it ain't true. But it can be, how can I do this and commit this great sin against God? That's veneration. That's reverence. That's all.
Amen.
Now, having said that, we need to determine where you get it. If you got to have it, you need to find out where to get it. But it's like everything else God does for us in a saving way. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, lest any man should boast. But it comes with it. To leave fear out is to cut off one of your arms.
Amen.
Or maybe your head. And he gives you the whole thing. Just like He gave Christ. If we have the Spirit of Christ in us, we've got counsel.
Amen.
We've got understanding. We've got might. We've got righteousness. Amen. And we've got the fear of God. I fear God, don't you?
Amen.
And I tell you, I fear Him most when I have committed sin.
Amen.
That's when I fear Him most.
Amen.
And I'll say this to you too. If you don't have fear of God, and I'll show you from the scriptures, you don't have any forgiveness.
Right. You don't have any what?
Forgiveness. You don't have any forgiveness.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I'm used to speaking to horses and we whisper.
I'll probably act like that sometimes.
Unless I'm really mad at them. And I hardly ever do that because I can make all kinds of excuses for a horse. But a kid in the classroom, I can't make no excuses for you. Look with me now at the source of the spirit, of the fear of God. Let's go to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32, and we'll go down to verse 26. Now, Jeremiah is writing to the people of his day about the impending judgment of God and their captivity as they are taken as slaves by King Nebuchadnezzar and hauled off the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And by this time, we already had one group experience that. That was those that were there and battling the likes of a man named Ezekiel. And they had been carried off. Daniel was there by then.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you get here, you got Daniel in battle. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, Ananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, and all those folks. We read here in verse 26, it says, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord." What's he appealing to there, Lord Jeremiah?
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah's sense and the fear of God.
Yeah.
I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. See how transcendent He is? See how majestic He is? Yeah. If you don't fear God, you don't know Him. I mean, you can't help but fear God if you know Him. And He's describing Himself here. He says, is there anything too hard for me? Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, and into the land of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he shall take it. I give it, he takes it. That's why I raised him up. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire to this city and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal. You guys have been worshiping Baal on the top of your houses. Yeah. We're going to burn them to the ground.
Yeah. Good.
And poured out drink offerings unto their gods and provoked me to anger. You provoked me. Let's see how you're going to experience it. Does that make you fear God? And we provoke Him too. Who are we? We get aggravated with things that are going on. Our faith begins to dry up, turn hard. We're not satisfied the way God's doing things. Well, if God would just do this, if God would just do that, if God was there, if there was a God. For the children of Israel, verse 30, and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. How long have they been a wicked people? From the day He brought them out of Egypt. They never ever did what He told them to do. Fear me and keep my commandments. They never did it. They lived all those hundreds of years being taken care of by the faithfulness of God, and all they did was hating and transgress His law and overturn His ordinances and give all these things to the work of other gods like Baal and Molech. They never, ever, 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 ever did what God told them to do.
But they always expected His blessing.
Well, that's it. They remembered Him.
They still do.
Yeah. And they still do. He says again about the middle of that verse, for the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands. He says, well, what was that work of their hands? Idolatry.
Right.
What's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me.
Right.
Never did they do what they were told. I mean, even Joshua did. You kill them all, Joshua. Oh, but these folks looked like they were hungry, you know. They had their food sacks here and they were just filled with dust and all this kind of thing.
They snooker.
Joshua, kill them. King Saul. You kill him and everything's gone. Samuel gets there and he says, what is that bleeding in my ear?
Yep.
Is God satisfied with sacrifice or obedience? They never did what God told them to do. They provoked Him to anger with the work of their hands. Verse 31 says, for the city hath been to me as a provocation. Jerusalem was never a joy to the Lord. Not even in the days of David. Most of the people were not like David. We read the stories of David, but everybody liked David.
Oh, no. Still filled with Jebusite.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. The whole thing. Of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face, and I'm going to.
Yeah.
We're going to burn it to the ground, turn every rock upside down. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the whole crew, everybody. That's one thing everybody was doing. Well, everybody does it, and they were.
Yeah.
They were. And they have turned in unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them. I taught them. Rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. They didn't listen. That word hearken means to listen and receive what you're being told as the truth and being determined by God's grace to do whatever you're supposed to do with it. But they set their ambition, their abomination in the house. Solomon even put the idols in the temple.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they set their abomination in the house, which is called by my name, to do what? To defile. And they built the high places in the valley of the son of Hinnom to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech. They sacrificed their children idols and pagan gods, which I commanded them not. I mean, I told them not to do this. Point blank. They did it. As a father, one of the things that used to tear me up more than anything, and I think it used to tear my daddy up too, was my kids didn't do what I told them to do.
Yeah.
Somebody said I was paying for my raise, and I think I'm still in debt, just to tell you the truth. That they should do their own abomination. And what was the result? To cause Judah to sin. And now thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof ye say, It shall be delivered under the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all their countries. These same people that I am sending in the judgment, I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to go get them. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whether I have driven them in my anger and in my fury and in great wrath. What kind of wrath? Not just wrath, but great wrath. And I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. Okay, and now we get down to the I wills. Not only will I send you into captivity for judgment, but there's other things I'll do. You see, God has a people. Always has had a people.
Yes.
Ain't never going to have and not have a people.
Right.
And he's going to save them. In verse 38 it says, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God. Now, what are the characteristics of all this? How can we tell? What does the finished product look like? And I will give them one heart. Yeah. There's not going to be any diversity.
No.
There's going to be you. Yeah. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father of us all.
Above all.
Above all. And in you are all.
Amen.
Amen's right. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may what? You see all that other stuff. They didn't fear God.
No.
And where'd they go? Most of them went to hell. There was a remnant. He brought them back. But most of them went to hell. They've been in hell for a long time. They're going to be in hell for eternity. That they may fear me forever. And why? What is the great thing that he's going to do? There is a word named for there. And that little word for means a reason. They're going to be there forever for the good of them. Now we're talking. God starts saying, hey, here's what's good. And of their children after them. It sounds a whole lot like what Moses was telling them over in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Mm-hmm. Obey the Lord, fear the Lord, for the good of you and your children. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason our children are having such difficulties now And while they can't remember that they were born a boy or born a girl, because men and women, mothers and daddies, have left the fear of God. And God has withdrawn his hand of goodness again. He does it.
Right.
He gives it. And you as one. He takes it away. And of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Now there's, look at the I wills. They're just stacking up. I will, I will, I will. Because salvation is of the Lord. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, verse 40, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts and they shall not depart from me. Now why would he say that? That they shall not from me. Because in the old covenant, what happened? They were always departing from him. But this group I'm bringing back, this group in which I'm putting a new heart and making an everlasting covenant, this group is going to stay with me. They're going to depend on me.
Yes, sir.
They're going to love me with all their heart, soul, might, and mind. They're going to serve me with all their strength and all that they can do. They're going to serve me. And they're going to love me. And guess what? They're going to fear me. That they may fear me for how long?
Ever.
Forever. This group, now if you want to believe once saved, always saved, here's a good verse for you. Forever.
Amen.
For the good of them and their children after them. And he says in verse 40, I will make an everlasting covenant. This is the everlasting covenant that's described in Hebrews.
Yeah.
It is a new covenant. It is the new covenant. Here it's called the everlasting covenant. This one ain't going to change.
Amen.
Amen's right. That I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts. That's the second time he's mentioned fear. Verse 39, that they may fear me. Verse 37, they may fear me. Notice verse 39, that they may fear me. And then in verse 40, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. And then he says finally in verse 41, yea, I will rejoice over them.
Yeah.
You know, if you really want to live good, make sure that by his grace you're able to have God rejoice over you.
Yeah, amen.
That you are a reason for him to rejoice. We talk about us rejoicing in the Lord. But what does this say?
Right.
Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land. I'm going to bring them back and plant it in it. Assuredly, with my whole heart and with my whole soul. There's where you get the fear of God. It's part of the new covenant. And the new covenant is descriptive of our salvation. We become God's people. He deals with us. Ezekiel is told that they get a new heart. The everlasting covenant there is described as a new heart. In Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 verse 25. Well, let me back up to verse 24. He says to this same group of people through Ezekiel. Jeremiah is talking to those that are still in Judah. Ezekiel's talking to those that are already in Babylon.
Yeah.
I will take you from among the heathen, verse 24, and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. I don't know what that is. Oh, it's not a what, it's a who. It's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from what? From all your filthiness and from all your idols. You're not going to want them anymore.
Yeah.
It's not just a matter that you should not have them. You don't want them. Yeah. New heart. And I will cleanse you. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And here it is. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just the spirit of understanding, or the spirit of wisdom, or the spirit of knowledge. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is also the spirit of the fear of God.
Right.
If you are a child of God, you can't help but fear the Lord.
Amen.
Now you can cultivate it. Yeah. You can cultivate it. And there's nothing, I don't think you can spend more time, a time better than cultivating the fear of God, understanding His majesty and His holiness and His preeminence and the fact that He is pervasively present with you. John Murray said that the fear of God is the soul of godliness. Mm-hmm. And it is. He says in verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You're going to do what I want you to do. I'm going to do this. You don't have to sit around worrying whether or not you're going to please me. You will.
Yeah.
Dear ones, we're in the process of getting to that place to where we will.
Amen.
Amen.
And for you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, back there in Jeremiah 32, he's talking about the fact that they didn't do this. Mm. But these people will. Those that have a new heart and a new spirit that God puts within them. The stony heart being removed, the heart of flesh being given. I will put my spirit within you again, verse 27, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. And you shall be my people. And I will be your God.
Yes. Right.
I will also save you from all your uncleanness. You know why? Because the fear of the Lord is what? It's clean. And I will call for corn and will increase it and lay no famine up on you. On you is West Texas, okay? I'm getting my language back. And then I want you to go from here. We're talking about the everlasting covenant, the new heart, and the fear of God. You know, when you talk about what God does and you say it's part of it, and that's not, hey, if you don't have the fear of God, you don't have the new covenant. If you have the new covenant, you've got the fear of God.
Amen.
It's all one.
Yeah. All right.
It's God's saving work. We'll go back with me to Jeremiah 31 now. And here's the part I want you to see, that if you do not have the fear of God, you're as lost as you've ever been, if not more so. Jeremiah 31, beginning at verse 29, we read these words. I think I'm going to go ahead and go a little further. This is just a repeat of what I've read already in 32. And in Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. Now we've got the new covenant. Mm-hmm. Take and drink, the Lord said to the apostle. Take and drink. For this cup is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood.
Yeah.
Behold, the days come, said the Lord, verse 31, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. That's what the writer of Hebrews talks about in chapter 8 of the book of Hebrews. It says in 32, now according to the covenant that I made with your fathers in the day that I took them by the hand, to bring them out of the land of Egypt. I'm getting rid of that. They ain't going to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Never was. And you know, really, that old covenant was meant to show them that they couldn't please God.
Right.
And not only that they couldn't, but they wouldn't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Friends, if God doesn't change you wholesale, if you don't become a new creature, you'll never love God.
Yeah.
You'll never understand God. You'll never know His wisdom or His knowledge or anything. Especially, you'll never know the fear of God.
Mm.
And if you don't know those things, then you won't know the salvation of the Lord. And you'll be in your sins the day you draw your last breath.
Mm.
And the next moment, you'll be in eternal damnation.
Open up your eyes in torment.
Mm-hmm. And go back and catch where it was and go off there again. Not according to that covenant, verse 32, that I made with your fathers in the day that I took them out of the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them. They break it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. What's those days? Mm-hmm. After the days of their captivity. After the days of their punishment and their judgment. Says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And again, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Notice this too. Since this is the case, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more, verse 34, every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. And here is the fact, for they shall all know me.
Right.
Well, I just don't know what God's up to. Well, then maybe it's because you don't know God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just don't know what He wants me to do. It may be because you don't know. He says here, they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord. And guess what I'm going to do more than anything else? It's going to be a blessing to them. Mm-hmm. Here's the great blessing.
Yeah.
For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin. What?
No.
Now that fear of dread and terror gets down into where that sin is.
Yeah.
And then when you come to God on His terms, by His power, in His Spirit, born again, to sit so you can see the kingdom of God. Then the greatest thing you'll ever know is that God is so forgiven, completely forgiven us, totally forgiven us, and has promised He will remember our sin no more. Now, how does omniscience do that? Well, being omniscient, He can do anything. Being omnipotent, He can do anything. Being omnipresent, He can do anything. So, there's a good application to be drawn from this. People say, well, I'm not afraid of God. Well, most of the time, those who say that are just blatant unbelievers. But every now and then, people say, well, I just don't think. I'll read something in the Bible sometime. I just don't think God's like that anymore. The one that never changes, that is the same yesterday and tomorrow, who does not change, so that worm Jacob might be knowing forgiveness. And I am the Lord your God, I change not, therefore you are not consumed.
Yeah.
It is amazing. Well, I'm a Christian because when I was 12 years old, I walked the aisle and gave my heart to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a sorry thing.
Yeah.
Most people who ever came to God didn't know when they came.
Mm-hmm.
They just came.
Uh-huh.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they shall follow me. My Father who is given to me is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch him out of his hand. Goodbye. One day you're going south, the next day you start going north. A direct change. You don't see the south no more.
That's right.
You just go on to glory. And one of the reasons you can feel so bad about your sin is because God keeps us in check.
Amen.
And thank the Lord for it.
Yes. Amen.
David did what he sinned. Most of the Psalms that David's dealing with, it's not so much his enemies, although they're in there a lot.
Yeah.
But it's his sin. God doesn't let his people go. And this new heart and new covenant and everlasting covenant and the fear of God and all these things, they all are used of God to conform us to the image of his Son, whom he knew, he also did what?
Predestinated.
To be conformed.
Yeah. And whom he predestinated? He predestinated to be conformed to Christ, right?
Right.
Yeah. But he called. He called. And then what did he do? Justified. And then what did he do?
Glorified.
You know, and those are all in the present tense. Those verbs are all present tense verbs. And we may not have any glory on earth right now, but we've got some glory. Because we are the heritage of the living God in himself.
Amen.
Well, let me just quickly bring this to a close now. And I do want to share some verses with you by way of application. We'll just read them going through them. But if these things are so, and they are, you need to understand that not only do we delight in God, but the Bible says in Psalm 147, verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy.
Amen.
God takes pleasure in us too.
Sure.
In the Proverbs, we're told that by the fear of the Lord, we depart from evil.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy and truth are in there too. And then by that fear of the Lord, in line with mercy and truth, we depart from evil in Proverbs 16, verse 6. In Malachi 3, verse 16, we're told that there were God-fearers among the people. And they saw all that was going on, all that was being done, and all that was being taught. And they saw it was wicked, but they talked among themselves. And God records it in a book.
Yeah. Yeah.
A book into which he puts his jewels.
Yeah.
And then the Lord Jesus said this. And if you're going to fear somebody. If you don't fear God, you're going to fear everything else.
That's right.
I mean, you see what people masking up. Masking up. Now, that's real stuff. I mean, I'm not trying to make any light of what has been going on the last 18, 20 months.
Yeah.
And the time shall be what? Worse
and worse.
But then look at what's going on among us. We do have our challenges, there's no doubt. And most of it just has to do with the fact that we've been blessed of God and we've lived for a long time.
That's true.
We've lived well.
Amen.
When's the last time you missed a meal? Well, unless I was too sick to eat it. Well, that's been a long time. Just like the boy, the wolf brand chili, that's been too long.
Yeah.
When's the last time you needed something that you couldn't get? I didn't say wanted something you couldn't get. I'm saying needed something you couldn't get.
Yeah.
And if you didn't get it, did you really need it?
No.
We do have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I am overcome the world. I'm giving you my peace, not as the world gives.
Yes, amen.
I'm giving you something that ain't going to pass away.
Right.
And we are at peace.
Amen.
You're going to make that trip, Lord willing, to Wyoming.
Amen.
I mean, we're living pretty much a life that is would have been indescribable and people wouldn't even think about it 100 years ago. 50 years ago?
Yeah.
And when I was a boy, if you were 71 years old, you had 10 toes already in the grave. And you just needed one more. Most of my grandparents died in their 60s. And they lived healthy lives. Just one day they woke up and they were gone. They woke up in heaven, I hope. I mean, they were professed Christians. I can remember when we didn't have air conditioners and automobiles. Say what?
Yes, sir, not that long ago.
Right. I also remember when you get a candy bar this big for a nickel.
Yeah. Or penny candy, right?
God is good. He's always been good. Yeah. But He expects you to give Him what He requires of you.
Amen.
It's like the old divine prayed like this, Lord, command what you will, and then give us what you command. That's the truth. There's nothing that God requires of us that He has not already given us. Well, we could go to a couple of verses, and I think I will just very quickly, and I'm done. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 17, it says this. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. And you will be, I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. Verse 1 of chapter 7, 2 Corinthians, having therefore, the apostle says, these promises. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, doing what? Perfecting holiness. In the fear of God. Where have these verses been?
They're right there.
And have we been believing them like we need to? And I'm not talking about the intensity or the even the greatness or the measurement. I'm saying, do we believe these things so much that we stake our lives on them day by day?
Yeah.
And then one of my favorite verses. And I think it just chokes every antinomian to death when they hear it. But here we go. We'll just have to chance there. In Philippians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence.
Yeah.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's a little bit of that dread and terror. Why?
Yeah.
Why are you supposed to be fearful with fear and trembling? Because, or for, as it reads in the KJV, it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of His good pleasure. And then he says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. God's in this. But fear and trembling. And why? What's so fearful about this? What's so fearful about working out our own salvation? Well, because it's God who's in you. And the fear is the fear of the Lord. It's the fear of God. It's that veneration that He saved me. And these sins are wrong. How can you say it's wrong? Everybody has their rights and everybody has their wrongs, and they'll just kind of change and vary from person to person. What's right for you may not be right for me. What's wrong for you may not be wrong for me. Yeah, you'll be saying that through eternity. And it won't be in heaven. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do for His good pleasure. Well, there's lots of verses on the fear of the Lord. And why we think that God's our buddy or our friend, like the next door kid where we used to throw the baseballs and things like that. I don't know. I do know this. According to what we read today, if you don't fear God, you have no part in the saving effect of the everlasting covenant.
That's right.
The new covenant, the new heart, you have no part in that. And God hasn't forgotten your sin. He still remembers it.
Yeah.
And He will, and He's going to say to many, depart from me, I never knew you. You go to that place that God's prepared for you. He's anxious. My Father, please keep us from that.
Amen.
Cause us to know you and to love you and to thank you. And God, do not let us leave you or forsake you. We pray that we would honor you in all things. That we remember that you are God. Beside you there is no other. That we'd stand with you and for you and by you.
Amen.
And we love you. Please forgive us of our sins now,
O Lord.
And cause us to take these things that have been freshly applied to our hearts by your Spirit and root them deep in us so that we cannot help but call upon you.
Yeah.
And remember that of all the things we need, of all the things we need, none are more important than the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.